Thank you. Let the record show it's December 16th, 2019 at 9 a.m. at the Public Service Commission Hearing Room in the State Capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota. This is the time and date scheduled for a formal hearing in PSC case numbers RC-19-189 and RC-19-190. My name is Judge Hope Hogan. I'm an administrative law judge designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings. Upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as a procedural hearing officer for today's hearings. Before we begin, if you have a cell phone with, if you wouldn't mind checking to make sure it's silent so we don't have interruptions today. There should be an attendance sheet going around. If everybody would sign that, that would be great. The bathrooms are right outside the main door. The women's is on this floor. The men's, you either have to go up a floor or down a floor. And we'll try to take breaks every hour and a half or so, but if anybody needs a break at another time, let me know, and we will get that scheduled in. On May 20th and 22nd, 2019, the PSC received applications for revision number 9 and renewal number 1 to the surface coal mining permit NACC 1302. From Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, for the Coyote Creek Mine south of Zapp in Mercer County, North Dakota. Revision number 9 identified the next five-year coal removal subarea, modifies the post-mining topography, and updates the mining and reclamation plans prior to the permit renewal. The five-year permit renewal allows Coyote Creek Mining Company to continue to operate within the existing permit area until October 22nd, 2024. Casey and Julie Voigt requested an informal conference on the revision and renewal applications. The informal conference was held on October 8th, 2019. On October 21st, 2019, the Commission conditionally approved revision number 9, subject to the right of any person that is or may be adversely affected to request a formal hearing and approval, and approved renewal number 1. On November 20th, 2019, the Commission received a request for a formal hearing on the approval applications from Casey and Julie Voigt. This hearing, a notice of this formal hearing was dated November 21st, 2019, and duly publicized as provided under North Dakota law. The request for formal hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined at the hearing: reclamation, reclamation liability, dust control, water erosion, alluvial valley floors, and road closure and access. In a filing dated December 13, 2019, the Voigts narrowed the issues for the hearing as follows: access to the Voigt surface land, dust control, alluvial valley floors, sediment buildup in Coyote Creek, and reclamation issues. Coyote Creek also indicated in its pre-hearing filings that it would be addressing special condition number 1. We will now have the parties make their appearances. Mr. Broughton, if you could identify yourself and your co-counsel.
Derek Broughton, Broughton Law Firm, Bismarck, North Dakota. With me is my co-counsel, J.J. England and Carrie Getz. And also with us are the Voigts. Have Casey Voigt at the table with us and Julie Voigt and their daughter, Leah.
And how many witnesses do you anticipate calling?
5.
All right. Mr. Mahon, if you want to identify yourself and your client.
Thank you, Your Honor. Wade Mann, appearing on behalf of Coyote Creek Mining Company, LLC, and present with me at the council table are Jessica Unruh and Don Steffen with Coyote Creek Mining.
And how many witnesses are you going to have?
Yeah, Your Honor, I intend to call 2 witnesses, Ms. Unruh and Mr. Steffen. And we also was contacted by counsel for the Voigts last week to see if we would agree to allow them to call Ms. Unruh and Mr. Steffen as witnesses in their case on direct without requiring issuance of a subpoena, and we did agree to that, so they may be calling Ms. Unruh and Mr. Steffen as well. So,
all right. Thank you. We also have with us Commissioner Chrisman, too close to Christmas, yeah. Commissioner Crotchis and Commissioner Fedorchak. We have the Public Service Commission Special Assistant Attorney General John Hsu here as well in an advisory capacity today. Mr. Hsu, did you want to identify the staff that's present for this hearing?
Yes, Judge. We have three staff available to answer any questions relating to these matters. We have Dean Most, he's the Director of Reclamation, Guy Welch, Environmental Scientist, as well as Bruce Beachy, he's a Hydrologist and Geologist for the Commission here.
And it's my understanding that staff does intend to enter exhibits and maybe some short testimony at the conclusion of the parties' presentations?
Yes, Your Honor, as needed.
Okay. All right. Are there any preliminary matters that the parties would like to discuss before we get started? Mr. Broughton?
Yes, Your Honor. I just want to clarify procedure to some extent. I think there was some discussion on how we were going to proceed with respect to splitting up issues. What we would prefer to do is simply put on, you know, our presentation of all of the issues, and we have no objection to other parties splitting it up if they want, but I think with the witnesses we have here and the amount of information, it's going to be much more efficient for us to just put on all of our witnesses and put on the presentation at once.
Mr. Mann?
I guess that's not really consistent with my understanding of what was determined at the pre-hearing conference. I thought we discussed it and determined that we were going to go topic by topic.
The commissioners have a preference? I mean, I think it will be more efficient to take all the witnesses at once, but if it's easier to address the witnesses issue by issue, we can do it that way, too.
If I might add, it would require us to call and recall witnesses numerous times if we split the issues up versus putting each witness on once.
Commissioner Chrisman?
I do not have a preference as long as both sides are able to present their information well, and I don't know if it's a big change in the plan. I rely on you to determine whether that's okay. A problem.
Mr. Fedorchak?
Will each witness then cover multiple topics? And then through redirect, they'd have to go through all those topics again all at one time, right?
Yeah, so we have, just to give you an idea, we have one expert, for example, who he'll be covering two different issues. We have a number of photos, and for four of those topics, Mr. Voigt would be presenting the photos on the dust control issue. We have photos that Julie Voigt would be presenting. So I guess the answer is a little bit of both. On some things, there may be one discrete witness who's presenting, but on others we might have a couple of witnesses who are presenting on the issue. And so for each issue, we may have several witnesses and then have to recall those issues or those witnesses as we move to a new issue versus going through all of the issues with each witness.
I mean, I have to be honest, from my perspective, it would help me keep the issues straight if we talked about one issue and went through the whole thing and then did the next one and the next one. But I can adapt if I don't feel so real strongly about it. Maybe I defer to Jack. You have thoughts on the procedure?
No, I think staff can work with whatever the commissioners prefer. I think we brought that up at the pre-hearing conference due to, I think, the interest of the commissioners that had expressed doing issue by issue.
If I'm the only one, I can adapt to separating them by witness. So,
all right. Then, Mr. Broughton, you're going to have providing the bulk of the testimony. So we'll allow you to proceed and call your witnesses you prefer to do that. Is there anybody from the public that's wishing to testify today? All right. All right, Mr. Broughton, did you want to make an opening statement at all, or did you want to move straight to your first witness?
Yeah, I would like to make an opening statement. The Commissioners, I think Commissioner Christman, Commissioner Fedorchuk, we had a public hearing. It was around 5 years ago when this permit was initially issued. And some of these concerns were raised at that time. And at that time, the mine was in its very early phase. And so some of the issues you'll hear today are the same, and one of them, for example, is concerns about dust and dust control. During the prior proceeding, there was discussion and dispute about an alluvial valley floor and whether that exists. And so some of what we are going to present today is new information on these issues. And so obviously with dust control, for example, there have been a number of years that have passed, and you know, some of those concerns have been borne out, and we would like to present that information, present photographs, and explain what those concerns are as the mine has progressed. Similarly, with alluvial valley floor, what the Voits did is do some soil borings in their alfalfa fields, go out and gather some additional evidence. And so we have the discrete issues we're going to raise, and I want to speak briefly about each one just to explain why we're bringing that up, what we're going to present, and what we're asking for. And the Voits appreciate having this opportunity in a transparent and civil process to raise their concerns, to protect their interests, and do that in a formal proceeding in front of the public agency. So the issues, as have been discussed, the first one I'll mention is dust and dust control. And I should back up and say, perhaps you already know this, but Casey and Julie Voit operate a cattle ranch. And this is a unique situation in North Dakota because you essentially have one cattle ranch and one coal mine trying to operate on the same ground. And so the Voits are trying to run a business. They're living in the middle of the mine or in the midst of the mine, and they're trying to operate a cattle ranch in the midst of the mine. This inevitably creates conflicts with those land uses. And so that's why the Voits are here today, is to try and protect their interests and address their concerns with respect to trying to operate their cattle ranch and live in the midst of the mine. So with respect to the dust and the dust control, there's, you know, been discussion about the basis for addressing this. And so what I want to do is briefly address just the commission's ability to address these issues, why we think it's relevant, and what we're asking for. So in 2015, an administrative law judge issued findings on a related issue about dust control and indicated that the North Dakota Admin Code 69.5.20905 provides that the applicant shall specify measures necessary to effectively control wind erosion and attendant air pollution. So this is the North Dakota version of SMCRA, the Federal Surface Mining Law. And under SMCRA, 515B4 is a section of the federal law. Similarly provides a performance standard applicable to coal mines and says, as a minimum, they must stabilize and protect all surface areas, including spoil piles affected by the surface coal mining reclamation operation, to effectively control erosion and attendant air and water pollution. And so you're going to hear from Julie Voit, and she's going to just show pictures and videos to give you an idea of what their problems are and concerns are with respect to dust coming from the mine and what they're dealing with. We're also going to have an expert, Shane Bofto, talk to you about his experience. He's worked at and for coal mines and other state governments, and has worked at coal mines where they've used dust monitors to essentially give an indication of when the dust is getting to a degree that it needs to be addressed, and then they have measures in place such that when those dust monitors indicate that it's getting to a certain level, they need to respond and react to control that. And so that's essentially the condition that we would be asking for. The next issue is related to a road closure. And the Mercer County Commission had some proceedings related to this. It was the subject of some prior litigation, which resulted in a settlement and a road agreement between the Voits and the commission and the mine. The concern we have that relates to the PSC, however, is that in an application under 69.5.20907, when a mine closes a public road and they're going to relocate that road, there needs to be descriptions, maps, and indications of where that road is going, how it's going to be relocated, and what that plan is. As far as we can tell in the mine application, the indications are that this road that was closed, they don't have the plan in there for where it's going to be relocated. But what we know is that the Mercer County Commission required the road to be moved if it is reconstructed, and the State Department of Trust Lands owns some land across which this road runs or did run, and they have indicated that there's no easement for where it was. And they, I think, essentially indicated that was an oversight, but they don't intend to grant permission to put it back where it was, meaning that it necessarily needs to be relocated. And what we're asking for is that the permit application indicate what the plans are for doing that specifically, and especially because it's going to require permission from the state in order to do that relocation. As you're going to hear from the Voits, the reason this is such a concern is that road essentially cuts straight across east to west the middle of the ranch and was one of the primary accesses to get to the other side of the ranch. And so at this point, they need to access a lot of the ranch by going around the outsides, and with the progression of mining, it's created a lot of pinch points and difficulties with them to get around and access. And so this road was supposed to be rebuilt in 2024, but we don't right now know what the plan is for this relocation, whether there's permissions, and so that's what we're asking for, is to have that detail in there so that we have the assurance that the road will be relocated, or where it'll be relocated, and that it will be reconstructed on schedule. The third issue relates to alluvial valley floors, and the mine, I'm sure, will bring up and is right that this issue was subject of dispute in a prior proceeding, did go up to the Supreme Court, and essentially what the Supreme Court said is there's evidence on both sides, and in those situations where there's expertise, we're going to defer to the agency. And what we're here to present is not, we're not attempting to rehash those issues. There's an abundant record that you know, the mine and the commission put on evidence. We put on evidence at the prior hearing. Our goal is not to rehash all of that. It's to add to it. And one of the things that was missing previously from all parties was some more specific knowledge of soils, soil borings, and the capillary rise in the water table in these alfalfa fields. The alfalfa fields are critical for the Voits because it's their primary hay ground. It's down near the Coyote Creek. Now, it's true, and I'm sure this will come out, these alfalfa fields are not going to be actively mined. However, because of the way hydrology works, the potential for runoff, and the potential hydraulic connectivity between the mine, the regulations, and this is undisputed, the regulations require us to address any alluvial valley floors that are within a permit boundary and to protect them. What we're saying is, we have always said this is an AVF. What we did is the Voits, you know, at no small expense, hired a contractor to go out and conduct soil borings in these alfalfa fields to drill down to the water table, pull out core samples, look at the soils, and look at how far up this water is coming within those fields to get some additional information on the presence of AVF, what kind of soil types there are, and so forth. And so that's the information that the Voits would like to present. The request they're making is simply, you know, not to continue to dispute this. There certainly is a dispute about whether it exists, but what we want to emphasize is that these are critical hay fields, critical alfalfa fields for the Voits ranching operation. We believe there's sub-irrigation present. We believe we've supported that. I don't doubt that there are going to be experts who disagree, but what we're asking for is, you know, a reassessment of whether AVF is here, and monitoring wells, not down right next to the creek where they exist now, but out in these alfalfa fields so that if something does happen, if there is a hydraulic connection broken, something that causes the water table to decline, we at least know that, and we know there was a cause, and we have established some sort of a baseline for the water table and existence of sub-irrigation in these fields. The next issue is, real briefly on that AVF, one of the people we will call is the expert who went out and conducted that drilling and is a soil class far and analyzed the soil samples. His name is Lance Loken. Another issue is sedimentation in Coyote Creek. There are discharges from sedimentation ponds going into the creek, and there's sedimentation coming out into the creek, and we'll show pictures that show what we're talking about. And the provision specifically that addresses this in the PSC's regulations is in 69.5.2 16. I might have that site wrong, but it is specifically for discharge structures from sedimentation ponds, and it requires that they be controlled and through the use of energy dissipators, riprap channels, surge ponds, etc., to reduce erosion, prevent deepening or enlargement of stream channels, and minimize disturbances to the hydrologic balance. The concern is simply that whether it's sediment coming through the discharge or simply the discharge pipe hitting the ground and pushing rock and sediment out into the creek, it has pushed a significant amount of sediment, in our opinion, out across some of these box culverts into the creek, and it continues to push sediment. Now, we're not, of course, asking them to stop their discharges. What we're asking for is for some regular investigations and reports so that we can get to the bottom of what's causing this and stop it so that it doesn't continue. The site for that was, 69.5.2.16.09. That's fine. And so the final issue relates to reclamation concerns. And the bulk of the testimony at the formal hearing on the initial permit related to reclamation concerns, revegetation, and so forth. The Voits had an understanding that there were some attempts that had been made at the mine to do revegetation and reclamation. And as part of this process, after having filed the comments and prior to the informal conference, there's a provision within the Century Code and the PSC regs that allows them to request an inspection. And so that was done, and the Voits and others went out, and there are a couple of variance areas that are being requested in this application. And so those specifically were what were inspected. The variance areas had attempts at revegetation, and the concern the Voits have is, as far as they can tell, there was a failure to control weeds, and specifically to control the weeds before they went to seed. And so there's an entire field now of weeds that has gone to seed and is going to create a seed bank that is going to be extremely difficult to deal with going forward. And one of the concerns as expressed at the informal conference is there are things in the permit, there's language about how revegetation will occur and reclamation and how weed control would occur. And the concern is that if that were followed to a T, we may not have this situation, but it doesn't appear that it was. We have an expert who was with NRCS for decades. He's an expert in revegetation, prairie vegetation, rangeland management, and he was on the inspection and looked at it and has looked at some of the materials in the permit. He's going to explain what the concerns are as far as revegetation and weed management, as well as recommendations going forward. And These, I believe, are going to be ongoing concerns, but what the Voights are requesting here is, you know, follow through on the weed management, making sure that when we're bringing in mulch and seed and things like that, that we have certified weed-free to try and control this weed problem. And the ability to do inspections on an annual basis so that they can watch what's going on, see where these seed banks are being created, if they are, because it's something that they're going to have to manage on their own property, you know, even outside of reclamation efforts going on at the mine. They're still running a ranch right next door in the midst of that, and so when these seed banks are created, that's going to flow onto other pieces of the property, and they're going to have to be dealing with that there as well. So those are the issues that we'd like to address. We'll be providing evidence and some expert testimony on these issues. I don't think that it's a surprise that there has been at times a contentious relationship between the Voights and the mine. What I think is important to keep in mind is that we have a unique situation here where we have essentially one landowner and one ranch operating simultaneously with a mine. And it's very difficult. We have surface mining laws in this state that are set up to protect the surface estate and the surface owners. And the Voights are here to protect their interests. And what I want to point out is that they are not opposed to coal mining. They're not opposed to this mine, mining coal. But they're running a business too. And they're trying to protect their interests and protect their business. They are running a ranch and they live in the midst of this mine. And so they're here today to raise their concerns, to protect their interests, and try and make sure that their business remains viable as well as the mine. So with that, I will close my opening, and we look forward to presenting our testimony. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Mann, did you have an opening statement?
Yeah, I do, Your Honor. Just briefly. Your Honor, the formal hearing today is for the purpose of addressing the renewal and renewal number one and revision number nine for the permit, NACC 1302. And the Voights, as the party opposing that renewal, they carry the burden in this case to demonstrate that the permit should not be renewed. And in accordance with 3814.122, the commission must renew the permit unless one of the specific statutory preclusions for renewal are proven by the Voights. And as you mentioned earlier, an informal was held October 8th to address the objections. The commission issued its order on October 21st. And after that hearing, the commission approved the renewal and revision, but they did also add a special condition to revision 9 that hadn't previously been discussed or noticed by the commission. And we'll address that briefly during our case, but since we've got many of the same issues today that were presented at the informal and have already been addressed and decided in previous cases by courts or otherwise, I think it's important that we do kind of lay out the history of the mine and some of those issues that have taken place, you know, before the informal that relate to this permit. Prior to any of mining operations taking place, in 2010, the Voights, with the assistance of council, negotiated and executed a lease with an affiliate of CCMC for coal mining. The Voights have been compensated and continue to be compensated pursuant to the provisions of that lease, and the terms and conditions of that lease dictate the rights of each of the parties. So after they got that lease in 2010 and other leases, CCMC filed its initial permit application in November of 2013. Casey Voight requested a formal hearing, and after 3 days of formal hearing on the application, the commission approved the permit in that case. The Voights appealed that permit to the district court. They appealed it to the Supreme Court. They claimed that the commission improperly identified and failed to protect alleged AVFs on the property.
Both the district court and the Supreme Court affirmed the commission and concluded no AVF existed. Then on December 17, 2014, CCMC filed an application seeking additional acreage for a haul road and a coal processing facility. And that was case RC 14846, and the Voits requested an informal conference on the application to address the issue of dust with respect to that case. After the informal conference in that case, the commission approved the revision. The Voits then responded to that by filing a lawsuit in federal court alleging violations of the Clean Air Act. The federal court granted summary judgment in favor of CCMC, and that case is currently pending before the on appeal before the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. Then on December 16, 2015, CCMC had petitioned to temporarily close certain roads for surface mining operations. After 4 days of public hearing over a few month period, Mercer County Commission approved CCMC's petition in March of 2016. The Voits then appealed that decision to district court, arguing that the temporary closure unduly restricted access to their property. The district court, however, affirmed the court's or the county's approval, concluding that the county complied with the law and the Voits will have readily accessible alternative routes of travel, and the road closure does not deprive them of access to their property. After losing their appeal at district court, CCMC entered into a memorandum of access with the Voits, further ensuring the Voits road access in addition to the agreement in place with Mercer County. That brings us to where we are now with CCMC's applications in these two cases for the renewal and the revision to extend the permit for another 5 years through late October of 2024. In response to the application for renewal and revision, the Voits again filed objections identifying initially seven topics, including dust, AVF, cultural resource sites, sediment buildup, reclamation abilities, CCMC's financial incentives to comply with permit applications. And then in addition to that, they'd also filed a motion to disqualify myself and the Crowley Fleck firm from representing the mine in these proceedings. The ALJ in that case denied that motion, and the informal conference went forward. The Voits dropped two of those claims, and that case ended up addressing access, dust, AVF, reclamation, and sediment buildup, the same five issues that we're looking at today. After the informal conference in that case, an order was issued extending the permit and the revisions. And in response to that, the Voits exercised their rights for the formal conference and once again filed the same motion to disqualify myself and Crowley Fleck Law Firm from representing the mine. Again, the ALJ denied that motion. And that's where we're at today. With respect to a number of these issues, they're issues that have already been decided, are under the jurisdiction of other entities, or both. With respect to the access issue, the roads are under the jurisdiction of Mercer County, and that's been determined by this commission before in a previous case and recognized. The mine has an agreement in place with Mercer County to address that road, to provide access during mining operations, and have that road access restored. In addition to that, as I pointed out, the mine has entered into a memorandum of access with the Voits over and above what is required by the binding agreement with Mercer County. So that issue's been addressed, and it's under the jurisdiction of Mercer County. PSC doesn't really have control over roads in this case. With respect to dust, that's another issue where there's very narrow and limited jurisdiction of the PSC with respect to fugitive dust and air quality. And that's also been recognized by this commission in the revision case that relating to the Hall Road. And DEQ, formerly Department of Health, issues air quality permits which require fugitive dust plans. Those are in place. The DEQ regulates that, and that's an issue for the DEQ. In response to, as I mentioned, the dust case, the Voights brought a case in federal court, and that's currently pending. That's again beyond the jurisdiction of this body. And then with respect to AVF, that after 3 days of hearing, three experts testifying, reviewing multiple reports, that issue was decided that there was no AVF. And that went before the district court and the Supreme Court, and that was confirmed. Now, I understand that the Voights are claiming that they have new evidence, but that was, their alleged new evidence was brought before the Administrative Law Judge, Reclamation staff in the informal conference, and both CCMC and Reclamation staff confirmed that that evidence, it's nothing new. It merely confirms everything that was established before, that there is no AVF, that this isn't anything new. And with respect to the sediment, the Voights are claiming, you know, or the, what they're asking for is that this be monitored, and it already is being monitored by the mine. The mine has been monitoring for this for years, and the mine knows where the sediment is coming from, and it's not coming from any of their mining operations. They've evaluated that, they've examined that, and we'll present testimony during our case where that sediment is coming from, and it's not coming from any mining operations. And then I do need to point out in the final issue, the reclamation issue, when they filed their initial objections in this case and requested the informal conference, the only reclamation issue they pointed out a specific tract of land, and that was a reclamation project that was done by Mercer County. It was not the mine's reclamation project. And despite that fact, they allowed that to go forward, get published, noticed. We get to the informal conference, there's no mention of that tract at all because it was not the mine's project. It was Mercer County's project. So in light of that, that's about a week or so before the hearing, they requested a mine inspection and then went out and took a bunch of pictures of some tracts of land that were in the very early stages of the reclamation process and tried to use that to paint a negative picture of the mine and their ability to reclaim the tracts. We will address that with our witnesses in that case, but I think it's important to point out that when they filed their initial objections, they didn't even reference those tracts. They referenced somebody else's tract and said because of a poor, what they viewed as a poor reclamation on that tract, you know, the mine can't reclaim their property. So and with that, that's all I have for my opening comments. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Mr. Broughton, you can call your first witness.
Call Casey Voight.
Your Honor, just a preliminary matter. I think all parties stipulated to the permit being in the record, and I provided you a disc for that. And the other issue I did want to bring up is from, due to the technical nature of these, generally staff is allowed to ask questions as well in these proceedings, and I would like to request that as well.
All right. Yep, that'll be granted. Do you want the permit marked as an exhibit?
Yes, Your Honor. PSC Exhibit 1.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Voight. Is your microphone on? Is there a blue light there?
Yes, it is.
All right. Thank you. Before you testify today, I am required by law to advise you on the penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes.
And being advised on the penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Broughton.
Casey, can you start by just telling us a little bit about where your ranch is located? and just tell us a little bit about the operation.
Located in southwest Mercer County, runs on both sides of Coyote Creek stream and is one contiguous property, approximately 2 miles wide, 4 miles long.
All right, I'm going to hand you a couple exhibits here just to orient everyone. We've pre-marked them as void exhibits 1 and 2. While we're handing out the exhibits on location, can you just tell us a little bit about what kind of operation you run?
We're strictly a cow-calf operation. Been handed down. My father bought the property in 1971 and ran it as a cow-calf operation. And my wife, Julie, and I purchased it later and continue to run the same cow-calf operation.
How long has it been in the family?
Since 1971.
Okay. So we've handed out void exhibit 1 and void exhibit 2. We have a blow-up. Do we have blow-ups of both of these? I'm going to grab those. We have some blow-ups of these that might be easier for you to point this out on, but what I'm going to have you do on these blow-ups is point out the approximate area of your ranch with respect to the mine. Why don't you bring that up over here?
Would this help?
Yeah, actually, I've got one. You're prepared. I've got one, too.
Okay.
You might need it.
It's that green button. So, Casey, can I have you just point out on here with that pointer approximately where your ranch boundaries are?
Do you want to come around here, Mr. Mann, maybe? I'm not sure where we're going
to
put
you
it.
You might be able to be further back.
Is it okay if I...
Oh, you have a stand? Perfect, yeah.
I mean, it's not... Is that okay? Oh, you can go over there.
Wait.
I can go stand over there.
We're not going to use this all day. I just want to give everyone an idea of where it is.
Oh, you got to stand.
No. I think, well,
could you put it here?
Between the tables, maybe?
Can you put it right on this side here?
I mean, you almost could put it up against that thing. It's big enough.
Okay, Casey, you want to go ahead and point out where your property is located?
Our yard would be located along the creek here. Our property consists of deeded and leased state land. The acreage has been virtually the same since my father leased it in 1971. There's been some additions and some drops, but 95%, the bulk of the property has been along this line here, along this county road here. So this would be the mine office. There's a small piece that's missing there. Then it goes back out and follows all the way up to the top of the map and comes all the way over to County Road 13. Comes down. And it goes below where this map is here. There's another quarter here and another quarter here. And then it includes the creek. Comes back up into this property.
Could you point out the farmstead one more time, please?
Right where this road cuts through,
mm-hmm.
then that comes right down to our farmstead right along the creek here.
Okay.
So we had access going to the east on this road and access going to the west on this road, which is 2.5 miles from the north, 1.5 miles from the south. So almost essentially in the middle. Right here would be about dead center of our contiguous property.
And Casey, when you need to face the map, could you maybe pull your microphone over a little more so our recording picks it up?
Sure.
And Casey, similar question, but can you also point out on here what, well, let me start by asking, are you familiar with this map?
It looks like a mine plan map for Coyote Creek.
Okay. And are you able to tell on this mine plan map where your property and the farmstead is?
Yes. We can use reference point County Road 13, which is the west boundary of my property. And then essentially it is all the permitted area. There would be a little more.
And so just so we have a couple of points of
reference. To the east of the office here.
So we have a couple of points of reference. One of the things we're going to talk about today is a closed road. Can you point that out on here for us?
That would be from the farmstead here going to the west.
Okay. And the other thing we're going to talk about, and if it's easier on the other picture, I can pull that one up, but are you able to point out the alfalfa fields that we're going to talk about?
From the yard, one would be to the south, one would be to the north.
Okay. And then I think you did, but just to make sure, can you point out the farmstead again? Okay. And with both of these maps, Casey, to your knowledge, well, this map is part of the permit. The other one is that?
Yes.
Is that an accurate depiction of an aerial view of your property?
Yes.
All right. And so I'd offer Exhibits 1 and 2, void Exhibits 1 and 2.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right. Exhibits 1 and 2 are admitted.
Casey, can you tell us just a little bit about how your operation has changed since active mining began?
Well, like I said, it used to be one contiguous piece of property, and then with the cow-calf operation, one of the ways to increase production is rotational grazing. Now with the mine being active in the center of the ranch, with several pinch points, it's not allowing me to do the rotational grazing that I have used in the past.
And probably some of the folks here know this, but just in case, can you explain to everyone what you mean by rotational grazing?
During the summer months when we're grazing, NRCS recommendations are to graze part of a pasture and then move them to a different area, allowing each pasture to rest at least a minimum of 28 days before you rotate cattle back to it to regraze the same area.
Okay. So I want to get into some of the specific issues that brought us here today, and we'll start out with the road closure issue. You talked about it a little bit, but can you explain for us what your concerns are with the road closure and access issues?
Well, like I say, the original public road, which was a main access for the ranch because it was in the center, I would use that to leave my farmstead and to access County 13 and all the land on the west side.
How are you attempting to access areas around the ranch now when you don't have that road?
Well, with like farm equipment or anything that is bigger, I need to travel around the east side of the mine to the north on County 12, over to County 13, and then come back to where the closed road would connect with County 13.
And this was brought up in openings, but you were engaged in the process related to this road closure with the Mercer County Commission, right?
Yes.
From the time that process began until the time that you settled with the mine, did their proposal for how to close this road change?
Yes.
And how so?
Initially, they were just going to close the road and have no access.
And what resulted from your involvement in those proceedings?
We have an access agreement to where they're going to reroute this access road to the south for a couple of years and then eventually reroute it to the north before sometime in the future of replacing it. I'm not sure where.
And are you allowed to use the road at times?
I'm the only one with access because I have MSHA training. There's locked gates on both ends of the access road. And the only way I can use that access road is if I keep current with my MSHA and hazard training.
Are there other people on the ranch who generally help you out with work on the ranch?
Yes, my wife and children.
Okay, and are they able to use that road?
Not without either myself or somebody from the mine escorting them.
Okay. I'm going to hand out a few exhibits here and ask you about those. They'll be void exhibits 3, 4, and 5. You have in front of you a copy of Exhibit 3. This is from the permit, but does this indicate somewhere where that road is?
Yes, it would be the line going east and west that's not straight. In the towards the middle of Section 36.
Okay, so the line that goes east to west through the west half, southwest quarter of Section 31 and the south half of Section 36?
That's correct.
Okay. Maybe just to keep exhibits in order, this is actually part of the permit, which I understand is in evidence, but just so that we can keep sequential exhibits, I'd move to admit void Exhibit 3.
Any objection to Exhibit 3, Ms. Rand?
Objection.
All right, Exhibit 3 is admitted.
All right, Casey, do you have a copy of Exhibit 4 up there in front of you?
Yes.
And again, this is part of the permit application, but Casey, if you go toward the back of this, there's a resolution of Mercer County Commission that references near the top the road passing through the southwest quarter of Section 31 and the south half of Section 36. It is
east-west section line road. Is that the one you're talking about?
If you turn to the 11th page, just flipping the pages, they're front and back, but just flip 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 10. It'll be on the left side of the page at the top. It says Resolution of Mercer County Commission, whereas Coyote Creek Mining Company, and then there's a number one after that first paragraph that indicates the road passing through the southwest quarter of Section 31.
Yes.
Is that the resolution related to the road at issue that we're discussing here?
Yes.
Okay. And if you flip to the next page, there's an agreement. Is that the agreement related to the road at issue?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of questions. When you look at the agreement, for example, in number two, there are a number of individuals listed. Do you have an understanding of who all of these individuals are? So it's paragraph two in the agreement.
I'm not finding a list of names, I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
The agreement appears at the bottom. It says page three of the agreement, but then paragraph two beneath, now therefore, it says number one, Coyote Creek shall construct, etc. Number two, Coyote Creek and the county have designated Casey Voigt and Julie Voigt, Sean Unruh and Chevelle Unruh, Austin Jensen, etc. Do you see where I'm referring to? What's your understanding of who these folks are that are listed here?
They're all my neighbors. Most of them run cattle to the west of my ranch, and they were using the public road for access to their property and to town.
Okay. And is it your understanding that they also had concerns about the closing of that road?
Yes, they attended multiple meetings.
And prior to your involvement in those proceedings on road closure, would they have had any access going through the mine?
Not with the initial request, no.
And after your involvement in those road closure proceedings, were they given some kind of access to get to their property?
Yes, they're allowed to access through with hazard training, and then the mine escorts them.
And if you flip to Exhibit A, to the road agreement, there's a dashed line that says reconstructed closed road. What's your understanding of what that dashed line indicates?
I believe that was the county's recommended route for replacement of the public road.
And if you look back to the agreement, it's page four at the bottom of the agreement, paragraph four. does it indicate there that that is where they need to reconstruct the road?
Yes, the north half and the south half of Section 36, so the quarter line.
And that's different than the location of the road as depicted on Void Exhibit 3, right?
Yes.
See at 5. Do I? Do you have a copy of Void Exhibit 5 in front of you?
Yes.
And if you turn to the second page of Void Exhibit 5, it has a CC line with your name. Do you see that?
Yes.
Did you receive a copy of this letter?
Yes.
What's your understanding of what's being expressed in the letter?
I believe Michael Haupt had also talked to me besides the letter and expressed concerns about replacing the road on a section line.
And did they indicate that they would not give permission to put the road back where it was?
I believe there was some talk about public safety.
But in this letter, did they indicate that they would not give permission to put the road back where it was?
I don't find it just right now, but yes, they were voicing their concerns that they did not want it replaced where it was.
Okay. Back to Exhibit 4, I'd move to admit Exhibit 4. Again, that is part of the permit, which is already in the record.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 4 is received.
And Casey, with respect to Void Exhibit 5, is this an accurate copy of the letter that you received related to the road closure proceedings from the Trust Lands Department?
Yes.
And I move to admit Exhibit 5.
Any objection to Exhibit 5?
No objection.
Exhibit 5 is received.
Casey, you've been handed what we've marked as Void Exhibit 6, a series of pictures. We had a discussion of, you know, the access issues you're having trying to get around the outsides of the ranch. So what I'd like to do is just walk through these pictures, and they're numbered at the bottom right. So we'll start with picture number 1, and I'd just like you to tell us what we're looking at in this picture.
Oh, that would be us trying to drive some cattle around the north perimeter of the mine, the active mine area. On the top left corner, you can see the existing fence, and the cattle were trying to follow that.
And so is this one of the pinch points you referred to earlier?
Yes, that would be in these deep draws on the north end of the mine up here.
Okay. And it might seem obvious to you looking at the picture, but can you explain the difficulty of driving cattle and pushing cattle through where you're trying to get them through in this picture?
Yeah, anytime you move cattle, you know, they kind of got to be able to understand what you're asking them, and it just becomes stressful for them, and it becomes more stressful when it's a cow-calf operation where the mother and the baby like to stay together.
Do cattle like going up steep hills like this?
No, they're by nature lazy.
And so, just to be clear, is it difficult for you to move your cattle around areas like this?
Yes. I don't know if other people observe this, but I observe this as the cows at the top looking very concerned at where their calves are back down the hill.
Okay. All right, let's move to picture 2. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
That's the crest of the hill, trying to move over to the west side of the ranch.
Okay, and so can you, is it the same place you just pointed to a moment ago on the picture?
Yes, the steep draws up here on the north end.
Okay. And again, can you just explain what is difficult, if anything, about moving cattle through this area?
Well, it's very poor access, so, you know, sometimes we'll use like a pickup or a tractor for coaxing to lead the cows so that they understand what we're asking them to do and it's less stressful for them. Where when it's this rough and narrow, we don't have much access other than horseback.
Okay. So then the next picture, number 3, can you tell us what we're looking at here?
This is another access to some land directly adjacent to Coyote Creek, just to the west of the mine office.
So which side of the fence would you potentially be using to run cattle?
We would be on the north side, which would be the left of the picture.
Okay. So what's problematic about the placement of the fence or the access issues that we're looking at in this picture?
Initially, it was very narrow. It was about a 6-foot area for cattle to come through. But being it's so close to the Coyote Creek, through the traffic of livestock and maybe some erosion from the creek, that bank is sloughed now, and there's very minimal access through there. The cows will make it through there, but we actually don't even ride our horses through there.
Is there anything in your view that could be done to allow you a better access in a situation like this?
Yes, actually where the picture is taken is by a cattle guard, and as you can see, the fence jogs and goes north a couple of times to get that close to the creek. If that fence was left in a straight line and followed the haul road, that would not be such a drastic pinch point.
So can you just explain a little more basically like where you're suggesting the fence could be moved?
To the south, to the right of the picture.
Okay. All right. Exhibit 4, can you tell us what we're looking at here?
This would be a creek crossing on the north end of the mine. Where the mine had installed their haul road was over the top of an access trail that we used to access the fields to the north and the south of the creek. So I think it's... on this area here, the PSC recommended that the mine put in a replacement access because they had taken this access out, which was a good rock bottom crossing, and the mine built this crossing in the picture over here on the corner. It's not as wide, it's not as firm, but it is an access.
Okay.
And the PSC did require the mine to put agricultural access in for us.
Okay. And let's move to number 5. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
Well, it don't look very obvious to the average person, but that is about 120 cows with calves traveling on an access that we obtained from the amendment to the Mercer County road closure.
Okay, and is that something that you worked out with the mine?
Yes.
Okay. And is there anything problematic about this access?
Well, what was negotiated was a 50-foot corridor for access from the south end of our ranch to the north end of our ranch. So this 50-foot corridor is about 3/4 mile long, and it runs directly adjacent to stockpiles from the mine.
Is that problematic for you?
Yes, initially when we were trying to move cattle through here, they were wanting to not stay on the 50-foot corridor because part of the problem is of the dust created from the stockpiles on the grass.
Okay. Do you have any problems with the width of that corridor when you're running cattle through there?
Yeah, there are some issues. One is since that was agreed to give us a 50-foot undisturbed access through there, then in June of 2018, the mine hired a contractor to put a power line through the middle of that access corridor.
Okay. All right, and so we're going to talk to Julie about some of the pictures with dust and get into detail about that, but while you're testifying, can you just tell us a little bit about the problems that you've had with dust, either you personally or the cattle or the operation?
Yes, it's very stressful on the cattle. Like in this situation, it's very disturbing and stressful for the cows to keep contact with their calves due to the long, narrow corridor and to the excess dust causing poor visibility.
And outside of, before I move on and offer void Exhibit 6.
Any objection to Exhibit 6?
No objection.
All right, Exhibit 6 is received.
So, Casey, outside of just this specific picture on page 5 of Exhibit 6, can you just talk about dust generally on the ranch and what some of your concerns are, what you've seen?
Yes, so once again, our ranch is on the creek, and the mine activity is uphill and to the west of our fields. So the predominant wind in North Dakota is west or northwest, and it's downhill to those fields. So whenever there's wind, there's a lot of erosion from the piles and opened, disturbed soils.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the alfalfa fields and alluvial valley floor issue. Can you just tell us a little bit about these fields and how they are used in your operation?
I don't remember the first time my dad planted them to alfalfa, but it was very shortly after we purchased the ranch in 1971. So the early 70s, these fields were converted to alfalfa, and we've seen benefits from that over the years, which I produced in production records in the previous formal hearing.
And how important are they with respect to other forage or haylands that you have?
This is typically the only area where I get second or even third cutting alfalfa from, or hay crops of any sort. It may only be about 12% of my forage production acreage, but it is in excess of 30% of my production.
And explain what you mean by second and third cuttings.
Alfalfa is one crop that we use that you can cut it like in June and then take the hay off and it'll regrow, and then you can cut it again like the end of July and take the hay off. And in several occasions I've been able to cut it again in September and take another third cutting off.
How typical is it to get a third cutting from an alfalfa field in western North Dakota?
Very rare on dry land.
Okay. And in dry years, are you able to get any additional cuttings off these alfalfa fields?
Yes, I think in production is enhanced in wet years and dry years. Maybe extreme wet years, you don't see the total enhancement because there's adequate moisture on the surface. I've had extreme dry years like 2008, 2012. Our driest year on record was 2017. That year in particular, I put up 42 bales of hay. 8 of those bales came off of the south alfalfa field on second cutting.
Okay. As a rancher, does the fact that you're getting second and sometimes third cuttings indicate anything to you about the water in those fields?
Yes, that's, I think, even referred to in KK Consulting for the mine permit, that there's enhanced benefits from sub-irrigation that allows more forage to grow, plus the second and third cutting alfalfas are usually of higher quality, so they are more beneficial to supplementing cattle for winter feeding.
Okay. I want to pause real quick. It just occurred to me, we're looking at a Google Earth aerial image that I think is not up to date. Can you explain where the mine is active now versus what's on the image?
So this is probably 2 years old, so now it's extended further south through Section 36, part of Section 31, part of Section 1, and down into Section 6. They've also, the mine has also expanded to the west, and there's stockpiles right along this 50-foot corridor along County Road 13. To the north up here, there's also a drainage and a pond put in the corner over here along County 13. And to the north up here, that's expanded over further and goes into these trees up here.
Okay. With respect to the alfalfa fields, since mining began, let's start with irrigation issues. Have you collected any additional information related to the potential for irrigation on those fields?
Are you talking like surface or subsurface?
Mechanical or flood irrigation?
Yes. We had different flood videos and pictures of the fields being submersed in water, and I also collected some photos of mechanical pump and irrigation pipe that was from our previous owner, would have been on the south end of the south field.
All right. You're handing out what we pre-marked as void exhibit 7. Once we get those handed out, I'll have you explain what we're looking at.
Thanks.
Okay, so void exhibit 7, we've got the pages numbered in the lower right. Let's start with page 1. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
That's a zoomed-in photograph from the yard out across the south alfalfa field.
And where does the water come from on top of it?
From Coyote Creek.
Okay, is the field flooded?
Yes, this particular photo would be about a foot and a half deep.
Okay. Has that, in your experience, has that happened other than the time this picture was taken?
It used to flood every spring. The last couple springs, it has not been flooding as much.
Okay.
So, all right. Yes, multiple times.
So it has flooded multiple times?
Yes.
Did having that spring flooding on those fields enhance the alfalfa production?
Yes. When the water goes down, those fields are extremely soft.
Okay. Well, let's turn to page number 2 of the exhibit. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
It's an irrigation pipe, and then at the top of the photo, you can see part of an irrigation pump.
And let's look at page number 3 as well real quick. What are we looking at here?
In this one, you can see more of it. So there's actually 3 different pieces of irrigation pipe plus the pump. And then to the far left side of your photo, you can see the Coyote Creek stream.
And is this irrigation equipment on your hay fields?
Yes, it would be on the south corner or south end of the south field.
Do you have an understanding of where the equipment came from?
The previous owner, Ralph Murray, had used that for irrigating the fields.
Okay, from the creek?
Yes.
Okay. let's turn to page 4. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
That's one of the sections of pipe closest to the creek. I just walked down the bank, so I was giving a depiction of where the location was as compared to the farmstead.
Okay, so in the background we see some buildings. Is that the farmstead in the background?
Yes.
And so these are the hay fields in section 31 right near the house?
Yes.
And all of the irrigation equipment we've been looking at and the flooding we've been looking at is in those hay fields?
Yes.
So let's just finish up then. Page 5, can you tell us what we're looking at?
That would be essentially the same angle of the first photo across the south alfalfa field. If you notice in the center on the top, there's a small hill that's on the east side of the field. So that was in the center of the last photo of flooding. And this one, the water's deeper according to the fence structure. I would estimate about 2.5 to 3 feet deep.
Okay. So is that's the same flooding we were looking at on page 1?
Same field, not the same time.
Okay. So with respect to the flooding we're looking at on page 5, did that water enhance your alfalfa production?
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's go to page 6. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
This is looking back from the east, so essentially if you follow the road in the center of the picture down to the fence line, that's a cattle crossing. So respectively, the last two photos were taken from a vantage point of that cattle guard to the southeast. This one is just depicting how the road itself retains the water back and slows it down, and then you can see the fence line on the left where in parts it's totally submerged in water.
Okay, is this at the same time as the previous photo we were looking at?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the same field?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then let's look at the last two pictures, 7 and 8. Are those the same as the pictures we were looking at earlier of the irrigation equipment?
Yes.
Okay. All right, move to admit void exhibit 7.
I just have one question. A couple of these are date stamped. Are the date stamps on the photos correct?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Mr. Mann, any objection?
Your Honor, I don't have any objection, but do we have dates for the why are the other ones not dated? And do we have dates?
I believe so.
Can you tell us, Casey, starting with number 1, approximately when these photos were taken?
I'm not exactly sure which spring flood it was, but it would have been in the spring of the year, probably previous to the 2009 flood pictures.
Okay. And when were the... We have a number of pictures of the irrigation equipment in the field. When were those pictures taken?
Those pictures I took in May of 2018.
Okay. And then you indicated that the picture on page 6 was taken at the same time as the picture on page 5?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you have date-stamped copies of these photos you could provide if requested?
My daughter could.
Okay. So move to admit Exhibit 7.
Did you want date-stamped photos, Mr. Rand?
No, we don't need them.
Okay.
Yeah, we can file those afterwards if people would like. I'm happy to do that.
Well, we have the testimony, so I think that's sufficient. Exhibit 7 will be received.
Outside of the photos and evidence of the flood and mechanical irrigation, have you done anything recently to investigate the presence of an alluvial valley floor in your alfalfa fields?
Yes, I hired a consultant to come out and do some core drilling.
Okay, and who did you hire to do that?
Lance Loken.
Okay. And did you have to pay Mr. Loken to come out and do that drilling?
Yes.
Okay. And did he conduct an analysis of the soil borings in the field?
Yes, he did an on-site analysis, and then he took core samples back to the office and studied them further.
Okay. All right. I'd like to move on to the sediment buildup in Coyote Creek.
Mr. Broughton, before you go there, can we take a short
sure.
break?
Sure.
Okay. Let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll reconvene at 10:35. All right, it is 10:37, and we are back on the record. Mr. Broughton, you can proceed with your questioning of Mr. Boyd.
Okay. So, yeah. Casey, the other issue I was going to bring up is the sediment buildup in the creek. Can you just tell us on a very general level what your concern is?
Well, I'm not sure exactly where all the sediment is coming from and why it's continuing to increase from year to year.
And where is the sediment that you're referring to?
Oh, I guess I need that. So it would be on the two stream crossings, one here right directly west of the shop office, and then one on the north end where the Hull Road crosses Coyote Creek in section 19.
Okay. And you've been handed what's been marked as Void Exhibit 8, and these pages are numbered in the top left corner, so we'll start with number one. Can you just tell us what we're looking at in this picture?
That would be the four box culverts directly west of the shop office. That sediment settling into the pond towards the middle of the picture on the left-hand side, you can see a black line. That's a discharge pipe from pond, I believe, 3101. And then you can see the sediment radiating out from the discharge pipe.
Okay. Approximately when was that picture taken?
2017, during the summer.
Okay. Let's go to picture two. Can you tell us what we're looking at in picture two?
That's just a close-up version of the same area. You can still see the same black discharge pipe going down into the rocks. The more concerning issue with this picture is the large material deposited into the stream on the lower right-hand corner.
You're referring to that area of rocks that comes out from the large boulders, the riprap?
Yes, appears to be some coarse gravel and scoria.
Okay. Let's go to number three. Can you tell us what we're... picture two, was that taken about the same time as number one?
Yes, same day.
Okay. Picture three, can you tell us what we're looking at?
This was the year before, so 2016, and it's directly to the west. The silt fence is at the top of the area that was in the first two pictures.
So when you're referring to the silt fence, are you referring to the black fabric fence in approximately the middle of the picture?
Yes.
Okay. And did you say that that is at the top of the riprap that was in the prior two photos?
Yes.
Okay. And what are you attempting to depict with taking this picture?
It would actually be the haul road ditch leading up to that riprapping, and you can see the two sediment buildups where there's no vegetation before it gets to the silt fence.
Okay. Let's go to number four. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
That's the same area, just a zoomed-in photo. You can see more of how the sediment is there with some water on top of it. Also, if you notice the silt fence, there's a dirt line that goes up to the top, and that is from when the silt fence had been knocked down and overtopped by sediment.
And those rocks in the background, is that the riprap on the bank of the creek that we looked at in the first two pictures?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to number five. Can you tell us what we're looking at here?
That would be the same silt fence and just another angle of the sediment. And you can see where there's a distinct depression before the silt fence.
Okay. All right. Number six, can you tell us what we're looking at briefly?
That would be a discharge pipe from one of the sediment ponds.
Okay. Seven.
That would be the north crossing.
Can I have you point so on the big map here again where that is about?
Would be up here where the whole road crosses the Coyote Creek in section 19.
Okay. And is there, tell us specifically on 7 here, the area of concern or what you're attempting to depict here.
I haven't checked the depth of the mud, but there's very little water going over the top of the mud. There's a 30-inch pipe to the north of the photo, and that is barely sticking up out of the mud.
Okay. So this is a different crossing and an area than the one we were just looking at in the other pictures?
Yes, but very similar problems.
Okay. So just to make sure we're clear, I'm going to do it one more time. Can you point on here where the first one was that we were talking about?
The first crossing is right here beside the shop office.
Okay, now on number 7.
To the west.
Sorry.
And then the second one is to the north, and that's on section 19.
Okay, and so picture number 7 is the north.
Correct.
Culvert. Okay. All right, let's look at picture number 8. Tell us what we're looking at.
That's just a zoomed-in photo of the same area. It gives you a little better depiction of how much mud is actually there.
And again, this is the north crossing now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Picture number 9, what are we looking at?
That would be the south crossing, and then due to the vegetation growth on the sediment, I would believe that photo is from the summer of 2018.
Okay. So we see in front of the two box culverts to our left, looking at the picture, there's mud and vegetation in front of those two box culverts. Do you see what I'm referring to?
Yes.
Was that there when the box culverts were installed initially?
There was no sediment in front of any of the box culverts when they were installed.
Okay. All right, let's go to picture 10. What are we looking at here?
That's just a zoomed-in photo of picture 9, and it shows the second box culvert from the west.
Okay, and again, to clarify, pictures 9 and 10, we're back at the south crossing now?
Yes.
Okay. And picture 11?
And that's a zoomed-in photo of the very west box culvert on the south.
Okay. Picture 12.
This picture was taken last spring, and the mine was doing corrective action to try and mitigate the sediment that was accumulating in the stream or appeared to be coming from the haul road ditch.
Can you point on the map to where this picture is taken?
It would be on the south side of the creek crossing here, right next to the mine office.
Okay.
Shop office.
All right, let's go to picture number 13. Tell us what we're looking at here.
That's a side view from the north crossing, so it would be from the south side of the stream on the east side of the crossing.
And can you tell us, in reference to this picture, where the discharge comes from?
The riprapping with the concrete matting at the bottom of the photo is coming from the south, and the sediment appears to be coming down the road ditch from the haul road.
Let's go to picture number 14 of the exhibit. And what are we looking at here?
That's just a zoomed-in photo of picture 13, so it just gives you a better depiction of just how much sediment is there.
Okay. All right, picture 15, what are we looking at?
That's at the south crossing, and it's very similar to the first photo we looked at, where it has the discharge pipe in the middle and then sediment radiating out from that into the stream.
Okay. Let's go to number 16. Can you tell us what we're looking at in 16?
Yes, that would be the south crossing, probably an earlier photo, so probably from the summer of 2016.
Okay. All right, picture 17. What are we looking at here?
That would be the south crossing, and that photo was taken in the summer of 2017.
Okay. Picture 18.
That would be the same south crossing, a little bit different angle. The discharge pipe was moved further up the rip wrapping, and then that would be from the summer of 2018.
And the sediment fence, or the black fence we see up there, is that the same fence we were looking at from the opposite direction in the photos earlier?
Yes.
Okay. Picture 19.
That's just a zoomed-in shot of the same photo from 18, depicting the sediment island blocking the two west box culverts.
All right. And then pictures 21 and 22, are those the same, depicting the same area?
Yes, the last two photos were taken this summer, 2019.
Okay. Move to admit void exhibit 8.
Any objection?
Your Honor, we would like the date stamped on each of these. I think it is important. Otherwise, it really diminishes the value of the photographs if we can't tell, you know, when these were taken. So we would like the date stamped photos of these. And did Mr. Voigt take each of these, all 21 of these?
I believe so.
Mr. Voigt, did you take these photos?
I took the majority of these photos, yes. My wife Julie may have taken some, and I think we can decide. I think my daughter can decipher who took which photos.
I guess if we can identify who took each photo and have a date stamped of, you know, the exact one, so we know when exactly these photos were taken and who had taken them, to the extent it was Mr. and Mrs. Voigt, so we won't object.
We do have all of these photos identified by whether it was Casey or Julie with the date stamp. It was just one in the morning, and we quite frankly didn't get to it, but we're happy to provide those.
Okay.
I guess with that caveat, to the extent that we do get that, we won't object.
So when you replace these, can you identify on the photo who took them?
Yep.
Okay. Is that sufficient, Mr. Mann, if they're marked who took the photos?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So I will admit Exhibit 8 with the understanding that the copy we have now will be replaced with a copy that is date stamped and marked on there who took the photo.
And we had discussed that with respect to Exhibit 7 as well. We're happy to do it for that one as
okay.
well.
we'll do that with Exhibit 7A as well.
While we're on that, it'll save me some time, too. I was going to ask on cross, but with Exhibit 6, with some of the photos of the cattle, I'm assuming we'd be able to get the date stamped and who took those as well.
Yep.
So thank you.
Casey, at the informal conference, there was some discussion of some work that you had done in the creek. Do you recall that discussion?
Yes.
Can you tell us what, if any, work you did related to the creek channel?
Yes. Directly to the east of my farmstead, we put in a diversion channel because the creek had been blocked behind my barn and was rerouting the creek through the middle of my yard. So we got a permit from the Corps and reestablished the creek channel.
Okay. And do you think that created any sediment in the creek?
Yes, I'm sure it did some.
Okay. And do you think that is the cause of the sediment buildup that we're looking at in these pictures?
Absolutely not.
And can you show us, looking at some of these pictures, maybe on Exhibits 1 and 2 or any others that are helpful, why you think that what you did in the creek is not the cause?
I think on photo 1, it shows the discharge pipe and the radiating sediment coming out from the discharge pipe. And then in picture 2, it shows in the bottom right-hand corner the large coarse deposit there that would not be from a mile away.
Okay. Casey, we also had a discussion about reclamation in general, both at a prior hearing and at the informal conference. Can you tell us just generally what your concerns are as they relate to reclamation and revegetation?
I guess the timing of the reclamation and the quality of the finished product. I think if you start off behind, it's pretty hard to get caught up. Initially, we brought up concerns about some reclamation that the mine did by the diversion, by the Coyote Creek, by the yard.
Let me ask you about that. Is that the area that Mr. Mann was referring to in his opening comments?
I believe that's what he was referring to. The county had put in a crossing on the creek that the mine had destroyed, damaged. We'll use damage. The county replaced the crossing on the creek that the mine had damaged, and then part of the agreement was I had to provide surface material and a cattle crossing for that, and the mine was to do the reclamation to revegetate the disturbance area that the county hired a contractor to replace.
And was there anything about that revegetation that caused concern to you?
Yes, I thought there was a very poor stand of native grasses or tame grasses that were seeded on that area.
And is it your understanding that it was the mine that did that revegetation?
Yes, I witnessed the mine crew doing the reclamation.
Okay.
Seeding.
Did you also go on an inspection of the mine to observe and investigate reclamation recently?
Yes, in October we went with some members of the PSC staff and Mark Anderson as a consultant, and J.J. England accompanied Julie and I.
Did the mine object to that inspection?
Yes.
Okay. What did you see when you were on that inspection?
That the reclamation by my yard was not near as bad as it was in the middle of the mine.
Okay, and had you had any access to those areas of the mine prior to that inspection?
No, I did not.
Okay. Tell us what you observed specifically when you were looking at those areas.
The way it was described to us is they had two different attempts of controlling reclamation. One was a cover crop of oats, and it was very inconsistent, some large healthy oats plants and some very small stressed oats plants all seem to be of the same age, just very different growth. The other area was mulched to control erosion, and according to Don Steffens and Tyler Barth, who accompanied us on that inspection, they said that the weeds that were growing up from that came from the mulch, and they were going to spray it in October, which was after the majority of that was Russian thistle that had matured and gone to seed, and they were going to get different mulch and use different mulch for the next area.
What's the problem with allowing weeds to go to seed?
I would think that Russian thistle is a very competitive weed. Once that gets ahead of any vegetation, it's very hard for native grasses to compete with that and to get established. The other problem that's a very big concern of ours is, like I said, the mine, active mine area is uphill and upwind from a large portion of our property. And Russian thistle turns into what we call tumbleweeds. And then as those dislodge and roll across the prairie, they spread seed everywhere they go.
I'm just going to put this mine map up for you real quick. Is it your understanding that the areas you inspected were what are referred to in the revision to the permit as variance 1 and variance 2?
Yes.
And can you point out those areas on the map that you looked at on the inspection?
The first area was in this here area. And then the second area, I believe, was further down in this area.
Okay.
I think we did go further north and look at another area up there where they were just spreading topsoil.
And did you have anyone with you during that inspection?
Yes. My wife Julie accompanied me, attorney J.J. England, and consultant Mark Anderson.
Okay. And what was the reason for having Mark Anderson there?
He's an expert on vegetation.
Okay. Casey, there was mention in the beginning here about a co-lease that you signed. Can you tell us a little bit about the circumstances of your signing that co-lease?
Yes.
Do you feel that it was an open and fair negotiation?
No.
Can you tell us why?
On numerous occasions, North American Coal had expressed concerns that my parents had signed a coal lease in 1971 and that that was still active and in effect.
Did you agree with that?
No.
Did that have anything to do with why you signed a new lease?
Yes. We've had more than one correspondence with Brian Biella, I believe, was the counsel for North American Coal, and basically said if we didn't sign the new lease, they were going to vigorously defend the validity of the 1971 lease.
All right, I've handed you a letter. We actually didn't mark this, Judge Hogan. Can we mark it as 8A?
8A, yep. Yeah, I'll keep the marked copy.
Casey, have you seen a copy of the letter we marked as Exhibit 8A before?
Yes.
And is this an example of the kind of correspondence you were receiving at the time that you signed the new coal lease?
The letter itself is very cordial. We did get an email shortly after that because we hadn't responded, and the email was a lot more short and to the point.
And what was the point of the email?
That if we didn't sign the new lease, they were going to vigorously defend the validity of the 1971 lease.
And when they say vigorously defend the validity of the 1971 lease, do you have an understanding of what they meant by that?
Your Honor, I guess I'd object. What is the email? I don't know what we're talking about here. What email?
I could check with my previous counsel to see if he could come up with it. It's a document. I don't know why he would not have it.
Well, I'm not asking to admit the email.
I think he can testify about the email.
Basically, ask him to say what the email says.
We can move on from the email. I'll move on from the email.
Okay.
Mr. Voigt, did you have an understanding of the mine's intentions or North American's intentions if you didn't sign a new lease?
Objection. How is he going to know the mine's intention?
I'm asking if he had an understanding of it.
He can't speak for the mine.
I think this letter explains their intentions.
I agree. I think it calls for speculation on behalf of the mine representatives.
Casey, were you concerned about ending up in litigation if you didn't sign the new coal lease?
I was concerned of the cost it would cost to go into litigation. My first concern was the difference in value of the 1971 lease compared to the new lease.
So did you feel that you essentially had a choice between the old lease and signing a new lease?
Them were the only two choices I had, and one was bad and the other one was worse.
I don't have any further questions for this witness.
Were you going to offer?
Sure, 8A? I'll offer 8A.
Any objection to 8A?
I'll object on that one, or relevance, excuse me.
I just want to point out it's directly responsive to something raised by Mr. Mann in his opening.
The objection is noted, but overruled. 8A will be admitted into the record. That's all your. That
yes.
Concludes your questions.
That's correct,
Mr. Mann. Any questions?
Yeah, I have some questions, Mr. Voigt. The letter that we were just discussing, is that addressed to you?
It was addressed to my attorney at the time, Patrick Donovan.
Okay, so you were represented by counsel during the negotiations of the lease. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did anybody make you sign the lease that you executed?
I think this letter spelled out very slim choices that I had.
I mean, the letter speaks for itself. I'm asking you if anybody made you sign that lease.
I guess I would have to go into the details of the lease to explain why it was the only obvious choice that I had. I was not only representing myself.
I guess the question that I had. I mean, you were represented by counsel at the time, and I'm wondering if somebody made you sign that lease.
Objection asked and answered.
No, it hasn't been answered.
I don't think he's answered the question.
I mean, they didn't hold a gun to my head, but they didn't give me much choice other than to sign the new lease. It was either take half the money or something a little bit more.
I guess, again, that wasn't really my question. Did somebody make you sign the lease?
Same objection asked and answered.
It hasn't been answered. It's a simple question. He hasn't answered it.
Yeah, he said no one put a gun to his head.
The way it was explained to me, I believe I did not have any choice other than to sign the new lease. Because I was not only representing myself and my wife, I was representing other family members that also had a vested interest in the lease.
I'm not clear. So are you saying that the lawyer you hired to represent you at the time told you that you had to sign this lease?
I don't remember his exact words.
I'll move on. I'm not, if you don't want to answer that question. You know, one of the things that Mr. Broughton brought up and that you expressed that he asked you if you were concerned about ending up in litigation if you didn't sign the lease, and you mentioned that the, you know, the cost of litigation was a concern. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, subsequent to that, I mean, haven't you sued the mine in federal court relating to a Clean Air Act violation?
I'm not aware of all the different legal challenges we've had, but yes, we've had multiple ones because since the mine has become active, the mining activities have been way worse than I ever imagined before we signed a lease or before we signed a consent to have a surface owner's preference.
So when you're negotiating the lease, you were concerned about litigation costs, but apparently you're not concerned anymore when you're filing federal lawsuits and appeal after appeal against the mine?
My personal property losses surpassed the legal litigation costs.
Can I see that pointer? Mr. Voigt, can you identify what this is?
Looks like mining activity.
Whose mining activity is this?
Dakota Westmoreland.
Okay. And is that an active mine?
Yes.
Okay. And I think Mr. Broughton indicated that this isn't really a current image, that it's maybe from 2016. Since this image, has some of the mining activity from Westmoreland shifted even further to the south?
I believe they've extended past this County 12 road that's here, and then they've reclaimed land up in here.
And is that adjacent to some of the land that you own?
Yes.
Okay. Could you also point out, we've had some discussion or reference to state land tracts. Can you just point out where those are located for us?
They're kind of all over in different areas of my property. Sure. One quarter would be up here in the southwest of 24. There's three quarters here in section 36, both the north half and the southwest quarter. I also have a quarter down here that's not on the map in section 12. And then basically the east three quarters of section 6 are state land. And then over in section 32, the east half of 32 is state land.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. There was also some discussion about production on, I think it's the north and south alfalfa fields. Is that kind of a correct description of them?
Yes, there is two alfalfa fields.
Yeah. And you'd indicated that you had, you know, I think with the initial permit, you'd provided some production data on those fields, correct?
Yes.
I think, I can't remember, that might have been cut off after like 2013 possibly, but you mentioned some production from 2017, and I just want to make sure that I'm clear on that. Was it 42 barrels or bales?
Bales of hay.
Bales of hay. And was that 42 bales from the north field or the south field?
That was my total hay production for winter forage for my livestock.
So 42 bales were combined from north and south fields and other areas, or?
I believe there was about 3 bales from the ditches, which are about 10 miles of road ditch.
Okay. And there was also some discussion, first and second cuttings. What those bales, what came from first, what came from second, or was there a first and a second?
Yes, there was. So 8 bales came from second cutting from the south field, so the other 34 bales came from first cutting in various areas of my ranch.
various areas, not limited to the north and south fields.
Like I say, there might have been three bales total other than those two alfalfa fields. So less than 10% of my total production.
Okay. What about 2015 production? What was that production on the north and south fields?
I have those records at home, but I would say it was typical. 2013, 2014 were wet years. I believe I had adequate hay supply in 15, so on average I usually produce about 2,500 round bales for forage for my livestock for the winter.
Do you have a breakdown, like 2015, for what it would have been on the north and the south fields that we're talking about?
I do, but it's in a computer on my baler monitor, so I would have to get assistance to retrieve that information. I usually write that down in my calving book, so I do have a hard copy of what that information was.
Sure. Today, generally, do you have an idea on 2015? Was it significantly more than 2017? Or?
Oh, yeah. Nothing's been as low as 17.
Okay. How about 2016? Is any recollection of production?
I believe 2016 was about 3,100 bales.
3,100? How about 2018?
I did some custom haying, so I have a varied number of bales on that, on 18, so I wouldn't have an accurate depiction of how much forage was produced compared to previous years, because there's hay acreage cropland that has been taken out of production by the mine, and then I've leased other lands to put up hay on.
Okay. How about this year, 2019?
Once again, more acres were taken out of production by the mine, and I leased additional acres in 19 that I didn't in 18.
Okay. I can't recall. I think it's Exhibit 7, but you recall there were some pictures of the, I don't know if it was the north or the south hay fields, but there were the irrigation system, like, from your predecessor. Is that correct?
That was Ralph Murray, and like I showed before, it's on the south end of the south hay field on this point right here.
Okay. Can you just explain for me, if you've got an AVF, why do you need to irrigate?
On dry years like 2017, the sub-irrigation only enhances the production. On dry years, you can use extra.
Okay. Where's that? I think it's expected, maybe. Yeah. And then, Mr. Voigt, I think you have Voigt Exhibit 4 up there. And Mr. Broughton had asked you some questions on that exhibit. If it might be easiest if you just kind of start from the back and you go to the get to the resolution of the Mercer County Commission. I think it was, I think he'd said it was like 11 pages in from the front, but it's the resolution of Mercer County Commission dated May 18th, 2016. That's what I'm looking at.
No, I don't have one from the 18th.
You should. If
it's the resolution right before the agreement. Is that correct, Mr. Mann?
Yeah, the second page of it, on the bottom, it says it's dated May 18th, 2016.
That was it.
Right before the agreement with the county.
The other way.
This one?
I think one more.
I got the
turn one more page.
16th of March.
We'll turn one more page. I think that's when he's done.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
And Mr. Voigt, it's the resolution that was the result of the petition of the mine to temporarily close those roads. Did you have an opportunity to participate in some of those hearings that the county held?
Yes.
Okay. And did you present? You had an opportunity to weigh in or present some testimony to the commission?
Yes.
Okay. And did the mine, do you recall, was anybody from Coyote Creek Mining Company there to testify to the commission as well?
Yes.
Okay. And can you look at page one of that resolution? Can you just read number one for me?
Road passing through the southwest quarter of section...
Oh, I apologize. The next one after the now, therefore... I apologize.
The commission has jurisdiction over subject matter of the petition of the road involved therein.
Okay. And that's the Mercer County Commission, correct?
Objective Foundation.
I guess it's Mr. Broughton's exhibit that's the resolution of Mercer County. I mean, is he suggesting that the exhibit that he put in isn't an actual resolution from Mercer County? I mean, I don't know. I think there is foundation.
That's what the heading is, yes.
Okay.
Resolution of Mercer County Thank Commission.
You. Can you read paragraph 5?
The temporary closing of said road did not deprive adjacent landowners access to their property.
And then number 6.
I'm going to object. I don't think it's an exercise for him to read things out loud for you. I think you can ask questions on a document.
Okay, that's fine. With number 6, it does say that a public benefit exists in the temporarily closing said road and that interests of the public and affected landowners will be protected. That's what that says, correct?
That's what it says.
Okay. And that's a resolution of the commission after the public hearing that both you and the mine participated in, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Hsu, any questions?
Just one point of clarification. I guess, Mr. Voigt, do you have Voigt Exhibit number 6 there with you?
Yes.
Can I have you turn to page 5?
Yes.
Sure. So here we see the stockpiles that you testified to that were causing this fugitive dust.
Yes.
Okay. Has anything been done to those stockpiles since this photograph was taken to prevent any more dust erosion?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. One other just general question. The company was asking some questions about the irrigation system that was put in.
Yes.
Previously, do you know what that irrigation system was used to irrigate or what type of crops?
I was 7 years old when we first moved there, so, you know, to know that it was an irrigation system was quite a bit to remember.
Sure.
What the previous owner raised for crops, I do not know. I do know they were cultivated fields.
Okay. And just going back to this other picture, number 5, you say this dust is from the mine. And now it looks like the cattle are kind of in the middle of this dust.
Yes.
And this is not from the cows
and the cattle? Well, like I say, that corridor is about 3/4 mile long.
Sure.
This stockpile is about halfway through the corridor, and that's where the dust got extremely worse. So if it would have been from the cattle, it would have been dusty the entire trip, not just adjacent to the stockpile.
I see. All right, thank you.
All right. Can we do commissioner questions first? All right. Commissioner Christman, any questions?
Yes. The road that runs south of the ranch and west over to County 13, where is that closed off now?
It would be right at the top of the hill above my house.
And I was surprised, so maybe I misunderstood, but when you were highlighting state land, the next section over, I believe, is 36. Is that not all state land?
No.
So the southeast quarter is not state land of 36?
Yes, so this quarter here would be owned by myself and Julie.
Okay. And you have access, is that where you were talking about, where you have access because you have MSHA training? Is to get in and out of that?
Yes, I can go through unescorted, but there's padlock gates on this end and a padlock gate on this end, so it's not convenient to stop and unlock gates and relock them when you're moving farm equipment.
And I lost track of which exhibit was which, but there was one exhibit that listed about six or eight other area producers as defined as potentially having need to get through there. Do they have access to it if they get MSHA training?
That's what we were told. Nobody has gone to get MSHA training other than myself.
And I, you know, I'm familiar with MSHA training. I've never had it, but do you have that because you used to work at the mine, or is that something that they could get if they chose to?
It's my understanding that they would have to work at the mine in order to solidify it. It's a 24-hour training course, and the last 8 hours are supposed to be on mine site training. But the mine, Coyote Creek, was trying to tell the commissioners that anybody that wanted MSHA training could go in and get it. Like I said, nobody else has tried to do that. I had past experience with mining, so I was qualified to go in and do an 8-hour refresher, and I have to do that annually to keep that current.
Okay, and then, and maybe this is a better question for the mine, but do you know, is there an age requirement? Like you mentioned your kids, whether like do you have to be a certain age to take MSHA training? Are you aware, or maybe that's better for the mine?
When I was active in the mining, you had to be 18 years old to get MSHA training. It's possible there are some exemptions that I'm not aware of, but it's my understanding you have to be at least 18 years of age and a U.S. citizen.
Okay, but within your family, it's just you that have it.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, and when we were talking about, there was a letter from the state land department about the location of that road, and I didn't have that, or I didn't see it at least in advance of the hearing, so I was trying to read through it fast. I didn't understand, is the point of the Department of Trust Lands letter that in the future they want this road, if it's going to be an improved road, to not just go across the middle of the land but to be on the section or quarter line?
I believe they state in their letter that they want it on the section lines. It was the county commission that wanted it on the quarter line.
Okay. And do you know, were they talking about ultimately when everything is done, or are they talking about in the interim while mining occurs that it should necessarily have to be on the section line?
Exhibit 4 with the resolution from the Mercer County Commission states in there that they wanted, their agreement with the mine was that it would be replaced in 2024.
Okay. And I think it was this dust picture where you're moving the cows. Can you highlight on the map again where this three-quarter mile long kind of a corridor is?
It is along Section 36, so it goes partway. So actually, it's probably more than three-quarters of a mile because it goes partway up into Section 25, and it's a 50-foot corridor that goes down to this drainage in the south end of Section 36.
So is it right along the County 13 right-of-way?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And I'm trying to understand what exactly... It's just an area that they fenced off and left so you have a corridor to drive them.
Yes, for moving our livestock.
And the power line that they put in, is that an above-ground or below-ground and...
It's in the picture really with the cattle, and that's above ground, and it's in the middle of the
50-foot
undisturbed exit.
I was looking at the dust. I didn't notice the power line. And is that just for reference, or is the power line causing an issue?
It doesn't help moving cattle, that's for sure.
Okay. And the flood pictures, oh, that's been clarified because we're going to get the dated copies, so never mind on that. With your MSHA training, so before when I was talking about the road location and access, thinking about the road, but with your MSHA training and whatever you call your permission to access, where does that allow you to go on the mine? I'm sure, are some areas restricted and some aren't, or is it just on the road in that corridor? Or I don't understand where all you have access to.
I'm not real clear on all of it either. As a courtesy, whenever I'm not going on that access road, I call the mine security and let them know where I'm going to be at and when I'm going to be there and what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Crosius.
Well, good morning still, I guess, Mr. Voigt. Do you know what percentage of your ranch is considered highly erodible land?
No, I do not.
Would it be fair to say that significant portion, if not most, would be in that category?
You would probably have to talk to one of the experts on what the soils are. Most of my ranch is native grassland, so it's not susceptible to erosion because there's always vegetation holding the soils.
Okay. And some of the questions I'm going to be asking, just I'll tell you what the intent is. There are so many variables. Related to production, agriculture, grazing, et cetera. And the one question that keeps, as I've been looking through, and I think the date stamps will certainly help, but one question that continually is, that I'm having is rainfall totals in a given year, for example. And I have a ranching operation out west as an example where in 2018, the only hay that was put up was cut wheat. That
yes.
Wasn't going to do anything else at that point in time. Nothing off of the hay fields. This year was good. The year before that, 2016 actually was exceptionally good.
Yes.
For a hay crop. So there's just so many ups and downs with that just having a hard time getting my arms around.
The reason I was discussing the 2017 production is that was our driest year on record.
Okay.
And to still produce second cutting alfalfa shows stream enhancement from sub-irrigation.
Mm-hmm. On the irrigation equipment, I see the remnants of, I think that was Exhibit 7.
Yes.
So we have the remnants of some pipe irrigation pump, it appears. Did you find, was this for flood irrigation? Is that your understanding? Or was there a remnant of a center pivot at some?
These are the only remnants there are. And like I said, I ask if they were previously irrigating it, and the answer was yes. So I didn't get into details. If I did, I surely don't remember them. Mm-hmm. I was very young.
Yeah. And then looking at some of the March 22nd photo on Exhibit 7, for example, in 2009, the question I have, do you know if this equipment, the irrigation equipment, the pipe, and we're calling it irrigation, but do you know if it was ever moved to water, move water off the land?
No, it wasn't. This has a natural drain to the north.
Okay.
So if it rains, it runs out and goes through culverts on the north end of the field, as depicted in picture 6, a photograph on page 6.
Okay, but the picture on, okay. So on picture 5 on exhibit 7, that was moving water?
Yes, that is.
Okay, and then going back to picture 1, I see some of the ice flows are mixed in with the water. So that moving water as well off the creek bottom?
Yes.
Okay. As a point of reference, going to, actually I think it still is, exhibit 7, picture 4. Is that the ranch in the background? I'll let you get to it.
Yes, that's the red barn, so that's kind of a...
That's your operation.
Yeah, I use that for a landmark.
Okay. And looking at behind the building site, does the creek bottom wrap around on
it
the back side of the building?
It used to.
Okay, so that would cause the...
Yep.
The banks to slump and erode and et cetera.
Yes.
So when we're talking about hay production and timing of photos, and I was looking, and it can't be that difficult to find, but I wasn't able to locate it, but just annual rainfall for each of the given years that we're talking about.
I do not keep record of that. There's some different USGS apps and different things that have rainfall for areas.
Okay. On the alfalfa production, do you fertilize?
I put down some phosphorus on the alfalfa fields, yes.
Okay. Annually?
No, phosphorus is very slow moving, so yeah. Probably about every third year.
Every third year. And that's uniformly applied broadcast spreader.
Yes. Okay. Custom spread.
Custom spread. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Commissioner Fedorchik?
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Voigt. I'll kind of pick up where Brian left off with some of these flood pictures. So this Voigt Exhibit 7, can you just back up a little bit and help me understand what is it you guys are trying to show with these flood pictures?
There's surface flooding on those fields that enhances the growth of the alfalfa.
Okay. And has that changed somehow at all since before or after mining, or it's the same as it has been?
The creek has not been out onto the field, leaving the banks since August of 2014.
Okay. And the relevance of the old irrigation equipment, what does that mean?
There are regulations that ask for potential to irrigate. I think that strongly depicts that there is a potential because it used to be irrigated.
Okay. And so, but you don't know if it was?
I was told by the previous owner, Ralph Murray, that it was irrigated.
Okay. All annually?
I did not remember a lot of the details. I was very young.
Okay, but it doesn't need to be irrigated anymore.
I haven't been, but I have done some research and I'm looking into irrigation and trying to make up the difference of lack of flood irrigation, I guess.
Okay. And then if we could take out the first grouping of the cow pictures, that's VOIT 6.
Yes.
This is the land that you still are using, right, and used before and after they started mining in this area?
Yes, it's directly adjacent to the active mine area.
And is the issue here that they have restricted, they don't have access someplace else, so they have to go up on the steep bank now? Is that what the point of this picture is?
It would be for moving the cattle, to move from the north end of the ranch to the west side of the ranch. That's our access, is to go up over the steep hill and through another steep draw with lots of trees.
So help me understand what kind of communication you have with the mine. Have you talked to them about this directly, or did you? And did you guys, can you sit down and discuss these kinds of things to come up with?
We've attempted to on numerous occasions, and most of the time it's just explained to me that that's the way they have to do it.
Okay. And you don't have another alternative to go around this either?
I suppose I could haul the cattle, but that would probably be 3 miles or so to go around.
Okay. All right. When did you buy this this ranch from your dad?
I bought it from the family estate in 1996.
1996. And were you comfortable with the lease, this coal lease at that time that existed?
There was no signs of any active mining being in that area at that time.
Okay. Were you getting lease payments from the company for that lease, or what were the terms of that? Did it not kick in yet, the payments?
My parents were receiving leases that are payments for their lease that they'd signed in 1971, and then that got put into the estate.
And so when you bought it, you got those lease payments then?
A small portion of them. It was distributed amongst the other siblings.
Okay, so that was part of the terms of your purchase, that they kept some of those rights?
Yes, my siblings and the child of the previous owner also had mineral interests.
Okay. But you were aware of this lease, you just didn't see any signs that it was going to be exercised, so you weren't concerned about it when you purchased the land?
That's correct.
Okay. Have you ever contested the validity of the lease in court?
Not in court, no.
Well, how come? I mean, it seems to be part of your issue that you don't think that it's a valid, it's not valid, or wasn't.
It wasn't, but I don't know if it's changed since the new lease was signed.
Okay. And in those new lease negotiations, I mean, it seems like a lot of the issues that are happening now are things that we see landowners work with the companies and deal with these in the lease and spell out some of these terms. Did you do that when you were negotiating the lease?
I tried to do that. So the original lease had 29 paragraphs, and then I added paragraph 30 that was supposed to cover me for replacement and repairs of damages and stuff caused by the mine.
But you didn't go into specifics of some of the, how you're going to negotiate hauling of your cattle, movement, cattle, all that sort of thing.
I thought paragraph 30 was going to cover that. It has a sentence in there about the repair and replacement of roadways damaged or destroyed by mining activity.
Okay. So you still might have some terms that you could, some legal standing in that lease that you could exercise if it's indeed not being followed. Separate from our process, you have a lease, and the company has to be held to the terms of that lease. So you have some standing with, by virtue of that lease, to do, deal with these outside of this permit.
I'm not all sure of the legal aspects of the lease, but under the Surface Owners Protection Act, I have a right to agricultural access.
Right. Okay, so in terms of the roads, the access roads, you have a memo of understanding with the company on access roads.
Are you talking about Exhibit C that's attached to the county commissioner's resolutions?
I'm not sure exactly where it is or if it is in the documents we've gotten so far, but the company referenced, and it wasn't, no one objected to it, a memo of understanding that they have with you on the roads. So does that, do you have one?
I think what they, what I was questioned on was the Mercer County resolution. Since the Mercer County resolution, we've made an amendment to an access agreement, I guess is the way I would try to explain that.
Okay. And so why are we still discussing the road issue here? If that memo, does that not address this issue that you're bringing to the table in this hearing?
As I pointed out on the map earlier, there are several pinch points where it's depriving me from access on other parts of my property. And as the mine progresses, there's getting to be more and more of those where I'm being deprived access on the perimeter of the active mine area. So that's why it's more important now than it was 5 years ago that we try and, or 3 years ago, we'll say, than it was 3 years ago to try and open up this access more freely so that we can access the west side of our ranch.
Okay, so that's why you're concerned about the replacement of that main road?
Yes.
Because the other areas are being pinched?
Yes.
But you are working with the company on some of these other pinch points?
I'm trying to, but there again, they're saying they have to do it that way.
And this memo of understanding, does that address some of the pinch points or what's included in this memorandum?
That was done 3 years ago also, and we did not have a true understanding of how difficult it was going to be to access our land.
Okay. All right, and let's see here. What's your involvement with the Dakota Westmoreland mine? Is that on any of your land?
There is a sublease from the original 1971 lease. 52 acres, I believe.
Okay. Otherwise, it's other, it's not on, it doesn't involve your operation.
That's correct.
Okay. And then my last question is related to the reclamation. So the, you referenced in your questioning with Mr. Broughton the weeds, the weed issues. And also some concerns about the irregularity in the oats crop. Is that something that you feel, what is that a sign of in your mind?
I'm not a vegetation expert, but I believe the way it's been explained to me by Mark Anderson and some of the NRCS members is that that's just a poor soil health or poor application of seeding to where I think it needs to be monitored to determine what the problem is that's causing that.
And was this the very first crop on that newly reclaimed land?
This is the first time I got to inspect that area, so I don't know if there was anything done prior to that.
All right. All right. And then in terms of the weeds, were you, describe your comfort level with the response you got from the company on that, because you talked about that on your on your inspection, correct? And they said they had bad mulch. They're going to have make sure that it's weed-free the next time. They talked about different ways they intend to resolve that. How do you feel that addresses your concerns?
I thought that was a, you know, adequate answer, but then during the informal hearing process, then a representative from the mine, Jessica Unruh, stated that the weed seeds came from direct respread, and I didn't feel that was adequate.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Broughton, any redirect?
Yeah, just a couple of questions. Casey, with respect to the mulch and the weeds, are you asking simply that there's a condition that they use certified weed-free mulch and straw?
Yes, that would be a start.
Okay. You were asked about a resolution. Asked about statements in a resolution from the Mercer County Commission, one of which said the temporary closing of said road does not deprive adjacent landowners access to their property. Do you agree with that?
No.
And the other statement, that a public benefit exists in temporarily closing said road and that interests of the public and affected landowners will be protected. Do you agree with that?
The first part, but not the last part.
Okay. And you have Exhibit 3 in front of you.
Yes. Yes.
And again, that's from the mine permit indicating where the closed road ran across sections 31 and 36. Is that right?
Yes.
And then if we look at the Mercer County resolution in Exhibit 4, there's an Exhibit A attached that indicates the reconstructed road needs to go up along the half section line, that dotted line. Is that right?
Yes. I think they refer to it as the quarter line.
And is your concern that at this point, based on the application, it's not clear what the plans are for reconstructing that road?
Yes, there's an objection from the Department of Trust Lands.
And let's go back to the weeds. If you hadn't been able to conduct the inspection that's allowed by these proceedings, would you have known about the large stands of weeds?
Absolutely not.
And is one of the things you're asking for just the ability to be able to conduct an inspection to have an understanding of what's out there?
Yes. I think I was supposed to be involved with the reclamation process, and I have not ever been contacted on any of the reclamation.
No further questions.
Mr. Mann, any recross?
Yeah, I just got a couple. Mr. Boyd, can you just tell me when you last seeded alfalfa in the north and south fields?
Yes. 2004 on the north field, 2005 on the south field.
And do you ever read your lease?
The coal lease?
Yes.
Not lately.
Are you aware that there's a provision in the lease that allows you to inspect at any time after making arrangements with the mine?
Yes, there is, but there's been past objections to us doing inspections.
But you have a right under that lease to inspections, correct?
Objection calls for legal conclusion.
I'm not a legal expert. I'm sorry.
Well, he tried to answer before but qualified his answer, but that's fine. Did you ever request access from the mine for that reclamation area prior to the inspection that you did in October?
I was not aware of any reclamation that was done before this year.
Can you answer the question that I asked? Did you ever request access to that area prior to conducting that inspection?
No.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Hsu, any other questions?
No questions.
All right. Are there any further commissioner questions? Commissioner Crosius?
I just have a couple real quick questions. You've always been represented by legal counsel throughout this whole process. Is that correct?
With the Public Service Commission, yes.
Okay. And then, and this is the question that I missed. What I'm hearing, there was more disruption to the mining activity than you anticipated. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You anticipated some level of disruption in terms of...
Yes, I've worked in the mining industry.
Right. So, because you had some of the points where that cattle were more difficult to move, which I think is to be expected, in my opinion, when you're shifting fences and whatnot. They're not standing in the corner at the beginning of November ready to go home. That corner's moved,
yes.
Potentially. So... Can you give, and then final question, can you give an example of a past objection by the mine when you've wanted to inspect?
I think when we requested the October 1st inspection, they objected to it.
They said no?
Yes.
So was it no, the timing wasn't going to work out, or no, just not going to give you access? Was it a scheduling conflict? I'm just trying to find...
I was just told no. I don't know the details of the objection.
Were you given an alternate date, or was it...
The ALJ, I believe, overruled their objection.
All right. No other questions. Thank you.
Any other commissioner questions? All right. I think that's it, Mr. Voigt. Thank you. About 8 to noon, so I think we'll take our lunch break rather than starting with the next witness.
Okay.
Why don't we reconvene at 1 o'clock?
Okay.